Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And I pray that we would be always rejoicing and always giving thanks, always in prayer, as you have commanded us. I pray that when we're tempted to be discontent, I pray that we would remember that you are our helper and that you will never leave us or forsake us, so that we can be content with whatever we have. Lord, I pray when we grow weary, we look to Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised its shame. And I pray that we would count it a privilege to suffer for Christ and to endure like he did. But Lord, as we look at your word, I pray that you would point us to Jesus Christ and his glory. I pray that we would be true listeners, that we would love to hear your word, to meditate on it and to obey it, to put it into action, that we would love to share it with others. And I pray that your word would ring throughout this church and in our hearts and throughout the week in your people. Do your work, I pray, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, where we are continuing our series in the Gospel of Mark. We'll be looking at chapter 4, verse 1 to 34. When I was working campus security in college, part of our duty on the night shift after we locked the buildings was to patrol the campus on foot or in a vehicle. And when I first joined the security force, we were a motley crew of guys. We lacked training, we lacked equipment, so all we had available to drive around was a 1980s Plymouth Reliant K. Yeah, and the suspension in the back was sagging, so the bumper was almost dragging on the ground. But we had a radar gun in it, so it was okay. And it was nice to stay warm during the cold winter months up on the hill at Baptist Bible College. One day in the spring, the evening shift security guard found our beloved car covered with mud, including the roof. We're not sure how that happened. After some investigation, we found out what happened. Well, we had this one security guard that thought it would be good to take the car for a spin on the top soccer field after all the snow had melted. And he got woefully stuck at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so he had to go to his dorm and wake up some of his friends to push him out of the mud. And in the process, he covered the entire car with mud. Our next security meeting, we hear this: do not drive the car on the soccer field. Folks, you can go very far in life by listening carefully to basic instructions. You can go very far in life by listening and obeying instructions. You know, the strange bit about this story is the guy who got that car stuck is now a police officer in New York somewhere. I think in the eastern part of the state, so just stay out of that part of the state for your own safety. In our text today, if you pay attention, you'll see it. Jesus calls us to hear or listen carefully. Jesus wants us to carefully consider his words and obey him. So as I read our text, the 34 verses here of Mark 4, I want you to see how many times Jesus says, hear, or listen, or pay attention. Verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in by the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, in his teaching, hearken, or listen, pay attention. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. The other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? And the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended or fall away. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? And there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. And he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." The last 2 weeks, we've been seeing growing opposition to Jesus, as well as his growing popularity. The crowds adore him. The religious leaders hate him. His family thinks he's crazy, and his disciples follow him. Why is there such a vast range of responses to Jesus? We've seen it, if you've been here the last 2 weeks. You can read back in chapters 2 and 3. Why? Why do we have such a vast range of responses to Jesus? And our passage today is right here for that reason, to explain to us why there are so many different responses to Jesus. The question, why different people respond to Jesus differently, is not only a question from 2,000 years ago that Jesus answered in this gospel. It is a question for today. You may wonder why some people get it, they get who Jesus is and follow him, and why some people do not. Or you may wonder why some people say that they follow Jesus and then they live like the devil. Why is that? And this passage answers that question. So I have three questions to ask today about this passage, and they all hinge on the first question. The first question is this: why are there different responses to Jesus? And Jesus unpacks that in his parable of the soil, the parable of the different soils. Now, a parable is a figurative story or saying that must be unpacked to find the meaning. Think of a riddle that needs to be untied, a big bunch of knots that you have to sort through. So Jesus settles down on his floating pulpit, the boat, and he teaches the people listening on the shore. And it's the story of the three little seeds that couldn't, and the three little seeds that could. I've read this parable so many times, but this is the first time I was pointed out in one of the commentaries. It's three seeds that didn't bear fruit and three seeds that did. So three is a great number for storytelling. Goldilocks and the three bears, the three little pigs and the big bad wolf. So Jesus is using this as a good way for us to understand three seeds that don't bear fruit versus three seeds that bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And as we see, this is a contrast in the soil, the different kinds of soil. Notice that all the responses involve hearing the word. Even the first one, the seed that falls on the path. It all involves hearing the word, but it's how we hear the word. Do we pay attention? So first, the first seed is snatched by Satan. It's snatched by Satan. The word has no chance. Satan comes along and snatches the gospel away from the person's heart. And in Mark so far, we've seen Satan working. We've seen him in the demon possession. That's very visible. And Jesus casts out demons and shows his power over Satan. But this activity of Satan isn't as visible. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they won't see the gospel. That's what's happening here. Some people do not receive the gospel message because of Satan's work. The second seed is toppled by tribulation. It's toppled by tribulation. And the scary part about the second kind of soil, the rocky soil, is that the word is initially received with joy. People excited about following Jesus. And we want to see all of us excited about following Jesus Christ. Believe me. But what do we look for in someone who says they have received the gospel message? We want to see them excited about their salvation. Gladness is a natural outflow of believing the gospel, but gladness is no guarantee that someone has really receive the gospel message. I've been around long enough to see people receive the word with joy, then fall away. Maybe you have too. It does happen, and it's sad. A sign of a Christian is not merely immediate joy in the gospel, but long-term growth. The proper response to a new Christian that has received the gospel message is, I am so happy for you, but we'll see. We want to see fruit. That's what Jesus says. That's what we look for, fruit. So the third seed is choked by cash, by money, by possessions. It's choked out. There's signs of growth, but then it's taken out, not by persecution, as in the second seed, but by the things of the world, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desire for stuff. Do not underestimate the grip that money can have on your soul. Stuff can strangle your heart. Following Christ seems fine until he asks you to give something up that you love. We think of the rich young ruler. We'll see later in the Gospel of Mark. He comes to Jesus and is all excited about following Jesus. And then Jesus asks him to give up what he loves the most, his money. Maybe it's not money for you, maybe it's something else. It's not stuff, that stuff and money is bad. It's that we love them over Jesus Christ. And that love, the worship of things over Jesus, crushes any growth of the word in our lives. So those are the three seeds that do not produce fruit, but then the fourth seeds, actually the other three seeds, produce fruit. There's a harvest by hearing, a harvest by hearing. This is real hearing, real hearing. Receiving the word and growing. The sign of a true Christian is not their immediate response to the gospel, but their fruitfulness over the years. And you notice that not every Christian will bear the same amount of fruit. It says 30, 60, and 100. Why are some people more fruitful for Jesus than others? It happens. And Jesus tells us that it does happen. So what is the answer to our question then? Why are there different responses to Jesus? Because some people accept the word and some do not. Well, I could have said that when you started the sermon. The response to Jesus depends on the response to his words. There's different hearts that take in the word. So let's get to the heart of it. Why does this happen? Why do some people have hard hearts, stony hearts, thorny hearts, and other people have good hearts that receive the word? Why are some people receptive to the word and some are not? And there's two answers to this question. Why do only some people receive the word and bear fruit? The first is God's plan, and we see that in verses 10 to 13. For this answer, we have to return to Mark's love of sandwiches. We saw Mark and a sandwich last week in chapter 3. But it's Mark where he has two accounts and puts one in the middle, like the meat of the sandwich. If you look at the parable, you see Jesus gives the parable, and then he stops. And there's some commentary, and then the explanation of the parable. So the meat in the middle of the sandwich is one reason why some people receive the word. When Jesus gives this parable, it is the parable to explain parables, the parable of parables. It's like a science of science or a philosophy of philosophy. This is the parable to explain all parables. Why does Jesus speak in parables? Think about the kingdom of God that he's trying to explain as a house. And you want to see into the house to understand the kingdom of God. Parables for those who are saved, who are inside, it's like a window. It's like a window. Parables like a window so they can see into the house and see what's happening. But for those who don't get it, for those who are outside, parables like a door, solid wooden door. They can't see in. It makes them confused. Look at verse 25 here. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken every, even that which he hath. And I think what Jesus is saying there, if you understand, the parables are going to help you understand better. If you don't understand, you're going to get more confused. That's what verse 25 is speaking about. And here, look in verse 11 of chapter 4. It says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Some of you have secret in your translation. I think secret's a better translation. A mystery implies you can get your game on like the Hardy Boys or Sherlock Holmes, and you can figure this thing out. It's like, I got this. A mystery can be solved. But a secret is something you can't know unless someone squeals. So there's different here. This is a secret. The kingdom is not a mystery you can figure out, but a secret that you're given, and it's given by God. Jesus quotes from Isaiah the prophet in verse 12, which we read this morning from Isaiah chapter 6, that parables are given so that people would not be able to understand and be forgiven. The fact is, some people get it and some people do not because of God's plan. God gives some people the secret. He gives them knowledge of the kingdom. Others, he bars their way. That is the mysterious working of God. You may say, that's not fair. But who are you, a man, to answer back to God? The reason for rocky soil and thorny soil and good soil is God's mysterious work. That helps us understand, but what do we do about it? And that's the second answer to the question. Why do some people receive the word or not. And that's in verses 21 to 25. The second answer to the question is, why do only some people receive the word, is in verse 24. Look with me at verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet or measure, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. The command is to take heed or pay attention to what you hear. The idea is not to be selective in what you hear. Like, you shouldn't listen to this stuff, but you should listen to this stuff. No, he's saying, pay attention to the words of Jesus Christ. Pay attention to what I'm saying to you. If you pay attention and receive the word, you will get it and understand more. But if you ignore the word, if you shrug it off, then you're just going to get more confused. So, what if I want to understand the word, but I really want to understand it, but I can't because I'm on the outside? Because Jesus says there's some on the outside that don't get it, and there's some on the inside that get it. They have the secret, and the other people don't. But if I want in, well, it's God's mysterious work. Jesus says his word so that we will not lose heart. Our response is to listen to the word. We don't need to figure out who has rocky soil and who has thorny soil in their hearts. We are called to listen to the words of Jesus. And if you listen and you obey the words of Jesus, you will understand. You will get it. So don't worry if you're on the inside or outside. Don't worry whether or not you're going to get it. Listen and obey. That's the words of Jesus Christ to us today. You should be worried and very worried if you don't give a thought to the words of Jesus. If they don't interest you at the least, be very scared. Listen and obey. That's the hope. Listen to the words of Jesus. That's our response. Then number three, how do we proclaim the word? The last two parables in this chapter. So we have asked, why are there different responses to Jesus? And the answer to that question is this: because some people have receptive hearts and others do not. And question is, why? Why do some people have receptive hearts? Because God has a mysterious plan to give some people the secret and others not. Our job as humans is to listen to the words of Jesus and obey him. So we know the various responses to the word. We see what God does. We know what we must do. The question for us is this: how do we proclaim this word? How do we proclaim this word? Or what should be our attitude as we share the word with others? The answer is given in these two parables. So the first parable shows us that the kingdom has mysterious beginnings. That's verses 26 to 29. And in this parable, you'll notice that Jesus compares the kingdom to bad farming practices. We have farming around here. We have right across the road from us. Zachariah enjoyed watching the tractors all season. Farming is more than chucking some seed at a patch of ground, than going in, watching TV, and going to bed. We know that. I'm not a farmer, but I know it's harder than that. And then all of a sudden, there's a harvest for you to take home. That's not how it works. Farming is hard work, and the work has only begun with tilling the ground and planting the seed. And that's exactly the point of this parable. That's exactly the point. While the farmer is going about his daily routine, the seeds sprout and grow, and the time is ready for harvest. He doesn't cause the growth. He doesn't know how it works. But it grows, and there's a harvest. The point is this: we spread the word, and God does the rest. We spread the word, and God does the rest. At the heart of what God is doing in his kingdom, we cannot do, nor do we understand. God, through his word, does his work. God, through his word, does his work. I like this quote from Martin Luther. He was a German reformer in the 1500s. If you want to study a very interesting historical figure, go back and read about Martin Luther. He says this, I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And then while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friend Philip and my friend Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that never a prince or emperor did such damage to it. I did nothing. The word did it all. I like that. He says, I was a sower. I gave out the seed of the word, and I sat back and watched God do the work. Now, God did some awesome work back in the early 1500s during the Reformation. But we must have that attitude. Proclaim the word, trust the Lord, and then go to bed and sleep because God's got it. It's his kingdom. So the kingdom has mysterious beginnings. We don't understand God's work, but our responsibility is to proclaim the word. And then secondly, the kingdom has small beginnings. And that's the last parable. The kingdoms compare it to a very large garden plant. A very, very, very tiny seed. The mustard plant could grow up to 10 foot high in a growing season, which is pretty impressive. God's kingdom has very small beginnings, and we can miss them. And I think we often do. But in the end, God's kingdom will be universal. And did you notice the detail about the birds roosting in the branches? That's drawing from Old Testament, from Daniel and Ezekiel, about the birds being all the kingdoms of the earth gathering in the branches. So what Jesus is saying, the kingdom starts small, but in the end, it's going to be universal and impact all the nations. See, folks, the kingdom's work starts very small in someone's heart. Maybe it's a spark in your heart this morning. None of us see it, but God does, and he did it. But in the end, this kingdom will encompass the universe, so the knowledge of God will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And that's awesome. We can't see it in the very beginning, but it will grow and cover the whole earth. So in conclusion today, I want to think again about this question, but today, why are there different responses to Jesus? I think it's a very important question to ask. Well, Jesus answered, how do we understand this? And I haven't been a pastor very long, but I have been asked this question a number of times. It might go like this. What about this person? They were following Jesus, and now they're not following Jesus. What happened? Or, my friend made a decision to trust Jesus. Now they're living like the devil. What happened? But if you decided to follow Jesus, you were transformed, you were saved. What happened? And often I point people to this very parable, the parable of the soils. Some people express interest in Jesus, but they fall away after 2 months or 2 years, 20 years. We don't know people's hearts. That's not our responsibility to know people's hearts. That's only God does. See, well then clearly people lose their salvation then, right? No, they do not lose their salvation. But there are false professions of faith. We believe that once God saves someone, they are always his. But folks, we got to have this category in our understanding of the Bibles, of the Bible, that there are false Christians. There are false professions of faith. This is how we make sense of people saying they follow Jesus, but then they don't. That's a false profession or a false Christian. We are not only looking for decisions for Christ. We are looking for decisions to follow Jesus coupled with a lifetime of fruitfulness for him. Again, what's the parable say? Fruit. We live in a country where it is very easy to claim to be a Christian. No one's going to come to your house and kill you. It often costs us nothing to claim to follow Jesus Christ. People can walk an aisle, raise their hand, or pray a prayer, and think that they are saved. Then they live for themselves and not for Christ. See, when some people see this phenomenon of people that say they're Christians but don't live like Christ, what they say is this. That person accept Jesus as their Savior, so they're going to get to heaven. But the next step is for them to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. That's not what the Bible says. If you want to know more about that, come talk to me. You either follow Christ or you do not. Yes, we should all grow in Christ. You either belong to Christ or not. He is either your Lord or not. There is no middle ground. There is no halfway Christian. And we'll get into Mark 8, 9, and 10, and we'll see that. It costs to follow Christ. This parable points out that the issue is that there's false Christians who listen to the word but do not bear fruit. Do not be deceived, my dear friends. There are people who profess to follow Christ but do not belong to him. And this is what Mark 4 points out. That's why there's various responses to Jesus. And that's why crowds loved him, but then they crucified him in the end. We evaluate our lives. We evaluate the lives of others, not on an initial decision to follow Christ, but by continued obedience to the words of Jesus. That's what Jesus says. Listen, pay attention, and bear fruit. That is the criteria. It can be discouraging when we see people make an initial decision for Christ and then fall away. Maybe it's happened to friends. Maybe it's happened to family. We may be tempted to say this: does the word even work? The gospel, even, does it work? Because look at what that person did. And I think that's one reason why Jesus includes these last two small parables about the farmer and about the mustard seed. It is not our part to make people believe. It is not our part to make people believe. It is not our part to make people follow Jesus. We proclaim the word and God does the work. But we may never know on earth what effect our ministry of the word had. We may never know. God decides how he uses his word in the lives of others. What does it say? It's mysterious. It has small beginnings, and it depends on him. The word works, but we don't get to choose how and when it works. I think we're tempted to say, if I preach this message or if I say this word to that person, this thing will happen. That is not how it works. We proclaim the word, and God does the work. So in response to this, keep listening to the word. Pay attention every day to the word. Keep proclaiming the word. Keep obeying the word. Keep on bearing fruit for Jesus. God will work. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you today that we can understand the secret of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you that we can understand who Jesus is and that we can have your salvation. And Lord, as we go about and as we see your mysterious work, as we proclaim the word, I pray that you give us boldness and confidence, knowing that it only works because you make it work. I pray that we would have open, receptive hearts to your word, that we would pay attention, that we would obey it, that we would not shrug it off. So work in our hearts, O Lord, to make us more like you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.